Well, Saints, we come to the last session of this conference, message number five, and we're still on the matter of compiling lessons that lead our children in a particular way, to build them up in their humanity to be proper human beings. So far, we've covered a lot of ground, and in this session, really want to show you how these lessons will lead our children to Christ in a dynamic, definite, and special way. The more we got into this and the more we studied this, the more we realized that the brothers, Brother Lee and Brother Nee, they really understood so many things, and they were so wise and thorough in their fellowship with us, leading us, teaching us in how to carry out this work. At the outset, I'd like to point out to you that the four of the five messages, messages 2, 3, 4, and 5 of this conference are taken from this book. Brother Ray's message on the increase of the church, or the seeds of the gospel, comes from chapter 11 of this book. Message 3 comes from chapter 12. Messages 4 and 5 are from chapters 15 and 16 of this book. And in this session, I'd like to read some portions to you, because Brother Lee's utterance is much better than mine. But before we start, again, I would like to read some verses from the scripture reading to begin, you know, to put us on the right foot here. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, is a striking verse related to our work with the next generation and even our work in the church life in general. Here Paul is writing to his young co-worker Timothy. Chapter 2, verse 2, it says, "And the things which you have heard from me through many witnesses, these commit to faithful men who will be competent to teach others also." Saints, this is really the continuation of the Lord's move through generation after generation after generation. This verse, it's quite striking because this verse has five layers, levels of fellowship. The things which you have heard from me, that's the Apostle Paul, through many witnesses. These are the ones that came with Paul, after Paul, that also spoke the word to Timothy. So you have Paul, you have the witnesses, you have Timothy, and then it says, these commit to faithful men. So that's the fourth level, and then who are competent to teach others also. That's the fifth. You see, the things that we're passing on to you in this conference need to be really worked into us and into our practice so that we can pass them on to the ones who come after us, and we can lead them in this particular way. When we speak about the one piece, coming back to our general subject, the one piece, the children's work being a work of preparation, when we speak about the one piece, we're referring to something Brother Lee said, I believe it was 1983, in Anaheim. He was speaking to a group of serving ones, I think, related to the children's work, and he was linking the children, the young people, and the campus all together as one piece. It's like it's one work. But he didn't use the word work, he used the word piece, because it's a piece of what? You don't know what to call it. Well, I would like to suggest that it's referring to a family. You know, in a family, you have children of different ages. Unless you had a multiple birth, triplets, quadruplets, or more, your children are all different ages. Your children could be anywhere from maybe young some in elementary, some in junior high, some in high school, some in college. You know, a family is like this. It has parents, a mom and a dad, and then it has older brothers and sisters and younger ones. And in a normal family, and in the church life family, it should be like this, where the older kids, the older children, are helping to take care of the little children. You know, I used to joke a little bit that we had four children, my wife and I, and we came to the conclusion that as parents, it's hard for us to raise more than two children. You know, if some of you just have one child, it's a baby, you can't even imagine how you could have two or three or four, but it gets easier, all right? And so we concluded that our first two were very instrumental in raising our second two. And so this is how it works in a family. The older ones really step in and help raise the younger children. And in the church life, it should be like this too, where our university students, our college students, young working saints should be serving on the campuses or with the college. The college should be serving, working with the high school and junior high, and the high school and junior high should be serving with the children. Oh, the more you practice this, the more a family atmosphere, a family church life would be raised up in your locality. And so the second verse that I'd like to read is chapter 3, verse 15. And actually, what I should read is chapter 2, 21 again. From last session, we read this. Chapter 2, 21 says, "If therefore anyone cleanses himself from these, he will be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared unto every good work." Now, pay attention to this last phrase, prepared unto every good work. Now, you go to chapter 3, verse 17, it's talking about in 16, "All scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for conviction, for correction, and instruction in righteousness." What? Verse 17, "That the man of God may be complete, fully equipped for every good work." In chapter 2, 21, it's vessels unto honor, prepared unto every good work. In chapter 3, verse 17, it's a man of God, fully equipped for every good work. So here you see a progression, and we believe this progression is very similar to the progression from the children's stage to the young people's stage. In the children's stage, their vessels, their destiny is honor, but they're not a man of God yet. But when they receive the Lord and they enjoy the Lord and they grow in the Lord and they pass through the perfecting in the young people's work, they become a man of God, that the man of God may be complete, furnished, perfected, equipped unto every good work. So this is part of the one piece. You can see the progression and development, but it's really the family church life. More and more, we have to bring our teenagers and our college students into this work related to the children, the young people, and so forth. Okay? When we come to this session, I still have one more Roman numeral from the last message to read through with you, and I want to read through it quickly so that we can get on to the next session, the next outline. Okay, but this is very important. Roman 2 of outline number 4, it says, "To compile material for the teachers, we need a number of brothers who know the truth and are also skilled in writing." Now, we covered this earlier. Then it goes on, "The material does not need to be in 5 or 6 levels. We need only 3 levels, elementary, intermediate, and advanced." Okay, now, you know, in the last session, we talked about Sunday school and how they have classes for every grade. Here, Brother Lee suggests that we don't keep them all together, but we have three levels, elementary, intermediate, and advanced. All right, A, the material for the elementary level should be entirely from a child's perspective. We should tell them that man is not the same as animals and explain to them why man is different. Okay, this is the elementary level. This is like four, five, six years old, something like this, or 5, 6, 7. B, gradually, as we proceed to the intermediate level, we can give the children a little more Bible knowledge. All right, now this level is where the work really begins. In the early level, it's God, it's creation, it's man, things like that. But when we get to the intermediate level, now we're talking about humanity and character. All right. One says we can convey to them a deep impression that there is a God in the universe and that man fell and committed sin, and that the Lord Jesus is our Savior. Now, you might think this is just one or two lessons. Actually, this spans the entire children's meeting, 5 years old to 12 years old, this point. Starts with God, and it ends with the Lord Jesus as our Savior. And in this session, I'm going to show you how our lessons can lead our children to know the Lord as their Savior. Okay, stay with me. Number two, we do not have to give them too much doctrine, but we should impress them with the facts of the Bible. Okay, just tell them the facts. Don't explain, don't give intrinsic significance, don't spiritualize, just give them the facts. Point C says, then when the children proceed to an advanced level, they will almost be ready to follow the messages in the big meetings. The children do not need too much doctrine, especially doctrine, points, lessons like that. They only need a general knowledge of the truth. This requires the careful work of the brothers who compile the teaching material, so that the children do not receive premature knowledge. Careful work of the brothers who compile the teaching materials. Okay, in the last session, we saw there's three things that are very crucial. There are the lessons, the training of the teachers, and the leading of the elders. All right, so now we're getting down to some practicality. We have to produce some lessons according to this vision and work them out in our localities. Okay. D says there is the need for some brothers and sisters to spend the time to prepare lessons and instructions on how to use them. We need some who can prepare the lessons, and then we need to train the teachers. We need to give the teachers, the serving ones, instructions on how to use the lessons. Okay. One little one under D, there is no need to compose the lessons in full. In other words, don't give them an outline and have them read this outline, stand in front of the group of children and read through the points. There's no need to compose the lesson in full. We can simply give some guidelines, such as which week to speak concerning honoring our parents, and some hints on how to illustrate the lesson. All right. Point two says, after being trained, each teacher can choose the particular illustrations he will use. We should not prepare uniform printed lessons to be read in each class. All right, now we're being told what to do, what not to do. Please pay close attention, especially to what not to do. For example, Sunday school. Point three, perhaps half a page of points, illustrations, and instructions is adequate. It should be easy to prepare lessons in this way. Okay, so he suggests we just give them a half a page. Maybe you need four things on this half page. The first thing, maybe the heading should be the subject of the lesson, honoring your parents, honoring our father and mother. Okay. The second item, maybe a short verse to go along with the lesson, maybe Exodus 20:12, honor your father and mother, that it may be well with you. But you don't need the whole verse. You just need honor your father and mother. All right. Then the third thing that's on that half page can be give the children an illustration of what it means to honor your father and mother. All right. So this means that the serving ones, the teachers for that Lord's Day or that neighborhood children's meeting session, they need to pray. They need to spend time with the Lord. They need to open themselves to the Lord. They need to receive some leading from the Lord on how to illustrate that particular point. You see, we can't just give them a curriculum, a textbook like Sunday school, so the teacher knows what to say. You know, I would like to read to you something Brother Lee said, if I can find it. Well, anyway, I'll just tell you. He said he considered that if you're giving a message to university students or high school students, you need a lot of preparation. You know, you're not going to just get up in front of them and wing it. But how much more, he said, to do the children's work is more the most difficult of all the works. The children's work is the most difficult. This means we need serving ones, teachers and parents who love the Lord. They love the children. They're burdened for them, and they will take the time, spend the time with the Lord. Give the Lord 30 minutes or an hour to just be with him, to open yourself up to him, to receive leading from him on how to impart the lesson, okay? Don't just wing it, all right, if you understand what I mean. okay, so the fourth thing, if there is a fourth item, maybe you don't even need a fourth item on that half sheet. Maybe that's good enough. But the teachers can use illustrations from the Bible. They can use illustrations from nature, from their own personal experience as a parent or as a child, what it means to honor their parents. Or finally, some illustration from church history. We have to pray and ask the Lord even to bring to our memory our own experiences. We forgot a lot. But if the Lord could remind us of some of our experiences, this could make these lessons very enjoyable and very captivating and inspiring. Okay. Now, let me add something to these three levels. And as we go on in this session, we'll see the importance of these. I'm going to give you some words to describe what we're trying to do in each of these levels. And these words are all words that were in these chapters in the ministry. The first one is in the elementary level, the lowest level, the youngest level. What we want to do is inspire the children. We just want to inspire them. We want them to go, wow, or, oh, that's cool, or just inspire them. Just inspire them. There is a God, the beauty of creation, the wonder of creation. You're not telling them what to do. You're not teaching them how to be a proper human being, and you're not trying to build up their character. That's for later. In this earliest stage, you're winning their heart, you're gaining their attention, and you're showing them what kind of God we have, what kind of creation he made, and then man. How awesome is man? The human eye, the ears, the taste, the mouth, the tongue, the nose, our hands, our feet. We were wonderfully made, and God created us in such an awesome way. The second level, the intermediate level, now what we're doing is we are getting into the matters of proper humanity, character, and the law. Okay, now we're trying to zero in on their behavior, their conduct, their ethics, morality, and these matters of what a proper humanity is, with the full understanding of what that means. And so in this level, we're going to teach them, for example, to honor their parents. Now, I'm going to use that as an illustration in this session. And so you have to use illustrations, examples. You have to give them a deep impression of what it means to honor their father and their mother. Honoring, let me just tell you, obeying is an action. Honoring is an attitude. Sometimes we can obey, but our attitude is not good. But the Bible tells us we have to honor our father and mother. That's different. You may even disobey, but you can still honor them with your attitude, your heart, your words, many ways. So in this level, we not only are inspiring them with the top elements of what a human being is, to be sympathetic and kind and forgiving and compassionate, all those things we've spoken about, we inspire them. And not only that, if they can't do it, we encourage them. We don't let them off the hook. We don't let them escape. We don't say, oh, it's okay. The Lord will do it in you. No, no, don't say that. Say, no, no, you have to do this. You have to forgive your brother. You have to. You have to learn how to be patient. You have to learn how to be kind, kindness and forgiving and all the matters of what a proper human being is. In the principle of the law, we are impressing them with item after item, example after example. You know, I mentioned this in the last session, I read through the New Testament again, looking for human virtues, elements of humanity that we could use as a lesson. And I came up with 60 different points of what a proper humanity is. Maybe somehow, in some way, I can share those with you. Of course, it includes the Ten Commandments. It includes what I read last session from 1 Corinthians 13. There's many like that. You just read through the New Testament, you'll find them. All of them can be a lesson, or two, or three, or four, okay? So in the second level, we're inspiring them, but we're also pushing them, encouraging them to try harder, to try more, to not give up. This is the law. This is the law. You're using human effort, the natural man, the fallen humanity, to improve itself. Now, this goes against everything that we've ever known about God's economy, but this is, please, please, just stay with me. You'll see the wisdom of this. In the third level, the highest level, the advanced level, now what we're doing is we're inspiring them, we're still inspiring them, but we also know that by now, they're experiencing a lot of weakness and failures. They're at a point where they can't. They cannot make it. They've tried. They try to honor their father and mother, but they don't. They can't. And so now this is inspire, and this is a time for conviction. All right? Not condemnation, but for them to be convicted of their sinful situation. All right. So elementary is inspire them, inspire them, inspire them. In intermediate, it's inspire them and press them and encourage them. And in the advanced level, it's inspire them and use it to convict them. All right. Okay, stay with me. All right. Now we come to message five outline. Message five outline begins with Roman 3, all right? In order to do the children's work well, we need to pay attention to these three aspects. Okay, there's three aspects. The teaching material, the training of the teachers, and the leading of the elders. Okay, we need materials. I can assure you, you almost do not have any materials. But I'm going to give you a little secret. There are some churches, saints, who have really labored according to this vision to produce some materials. All right, we did this in Irvine. I'm not boasting. I'm not putting out our material as the best. It's just there and it's available. After brothers are designated to compile material, the leading of the elders and the training of the teachers should follow. Okay, we went through this process. We gathered a team of six or eight of us, and we read through this ministry again and again until we were clear, and then we began to labor on compiling material that touched God, creation, and humanity, the three big points. I mentioned this already. And all the lessons are in those three categories. And then we began to compile lesson materials, and every lesson is just a short, brief, half-page type lesson, and it has three levels on it. For elementary level, you teach this, you give this verse. For intermediate, you teach this, and you use this verse, and for advanced, you do this. And so we've gone through this exercise, we've built this up. Brothers and sisters, I just urge you to take this way. Okay, now follow closely. This is going to be very experiential. I hope I can do it in the amount of time we have. Roman 4, at the end of each lesson that we give them, we can impress them with a short verse from the Bible. By ministering the lesson, we will lay a good foundation for them to receive something brief from the Word of God. I would like you to pay close attention to this word, ministering. By ministering the lesson, brothers and sisters, don't just teach. Don't teach. Don't teach. Minister. Minister. This means you're a priest. You've been in the Lord's presence. You've been with the Lord. And now you're coming to be with the children. And you're going to minister a lesson according to their level, according to their age. And lay a good foundation, portion of a verse. Obey your parents in the Lord. Honor your father and mother. Half verse, quarter verse, short verse, phrase. Impress them that this is the word of God. A, we may tell them that as children, they need to be proper human beings who behave in a good way to honor their parents. I told you this is going to be our example. We can even use illustrations from nature. This will interest them very much. Okay, I've really tried to understand how to teach honoring your parents from nature. Maybe there's some animals or something that I'm not aware of. Maybe it's the ants or the bees. I don't know. Maybe you know better than me. But anyway, we give them a lesson on that they need to behave themselves in a proper way to honor their father and mother, okay? B, then at the end, we can read them from Exodus 20:12, honor your father and your mother, explaining that this is the word of God in the Bible. You know, saints, we can do that. We can say, okay, listen, this is the word of God. It says that we need to honor our father and our mother. We can ask them to keep it in mind. Remember this. Keep this in your mind. Even recite it. How about we go around, each one of you, recite this verse, honor your father and your mother. Recite it, and then explain to us what it means. Now you tell me, what does it mean to honor? Now you're, okay, now we're talking to 11 and 12-year-olds, all right? 10, 11, 12-year-olds, the older group. And so, okay, what does this mean to honor your father and mother? They say, oh, it means to obey. You say, well, yeah, it certainly means, implies to obey, but it's more than that. What do you think, Johnny? And Sarah, what would you say? What does it mean to honor your parents, your father and mother? Okay, you've already given the lesson, so they should know what it means. It's an attitude. It's a heart thing. It's a respect. It's, you know, whatever it was you taught them. So now they're explaining to you that what they understand. Okay, then you know what you do is you tell them, okay, when you go home this week, I want you to practice honoring your father and your mother. Okay. Next week when we come back, we'll talk about it again. All right. C says, the next time they come together, we can have them tell us what they heard the previous week and whether they put it into practice. Okay. You know what this implies? This implies that the serving ones are in a very good coordination. Last week, we talked about honoring the father and mother. This week, we're going to check with them. Did you practice? What were we on last week? What did we cover? Oh, I know. We covered honor your father and mother. Very good. Very good. We did cover that. So let me ask you, did you practice this? Did you put this into practice? How about you, Johnny? Did you put this into practice? He goes, oh, yeah, I did. I said, how did you put this into practice? He said, well, my mom told me to take out the garbage. And so I took out the garbage. I said, did you complain? Oh, no, I didn't complain. I said, very good, very good. That's the way to honor your father and mother. Okay, then Sarah, okay, did you practice this, what we learned last week? Yeah, I practiced it. How did you honor your mother and father? Well, my mom told me to put down my iPad and it was time to go to bed. And I said, okay. And I just put it down without making her say it a second time. Oh, that's very good. That is really a good way to honor your father and mother. Very good, Sarah. Very good. Then you come to one and you know he's struggling. And he's been struggling all year with all of these lessons. You know he's got a problem, all right? Because you're a priest. You've been praying for them. You know them. You know how he is. And you know that maybe he's struggling, okay? So now you come to him. His name is Jim. You say, Jimmy, did you practice? He goes, yeah, I practice. And because he listened to us talking to Johnny and Sarah in such a positive way, then we say, okay, Johnny or Jimmy, how did you honor your parents? And he'll say, well, my dad told me it was time to go to bed, so I went to bed. And then you go, did you go the first time he said it? And he goes like this. His head goes down. No. Or he says, yeah, I did. And then because in your spirit, as a serving one, you have a feeling. And so you challenge him. You say, Jimmy, really? Really? The first time? And then his head may go down. You see, even these children may shed tears. He might say, I can't. I really want to, but I can't. At that point, as a serving one, you are very clear that this child is about ready to receive the Lord in a very personal, definite and dynamic way. Okay? So, let me go back and read point C again. The next time they come together, we can have them tell us in what way they heard what they heard the previous week and whether they put it into practice. We may ask them in what way they honored their parents in the past week. So they might say, well, I told my mom thank you when she fixed my dinner. Oh, that's very good. That's very good. So you praise them. You praise them. So you've inspired them, and you praise them, and you convict them. Okay? So this is how it's done. When they get to the point when they can't, or they're really struggling, or you can tell that the lessons are having an effect on them. You can go, I don't want to jump on the outline, so let's just keep reading the outline. Point D, we must not give them anything in a premature way. Rather, we should prepare the lessons according to their age. That means you don't talk to them about Jesus dying on a cross for them until they are convicted of their sinful condition before God. There's no point. It doesn't mean anything to them. It's a story. It's a fable. They won't benefit. In fact, it may damage them. One says we should give the 5 and 6 year olds one thing and the 7 and 8 year olds something else. Okay, you tell a 5 or 6 year old to honor their parents, they're going to go, yeah, I'm going to honor my mom and dad. I'm going to honor them. They have no concept. They don't know how hard that is. They love their parents. They're devoted. No problem. 7 and 8 year old, they're going to have some failures. They're going to, yeah, I need to, I should, it's the Bible, it's the Word of God. Sometimes I do. I do obey the first time. You know, sometimes I do take out the trash without complaining. And so that's when we inspire them and push them, encourage them. No, you can't complain. You have to honor them. You have to honor them. But when they get to the advanced level, now we're really pressing down on them. You have to. This is the Word of God. You have to do it. You have to honor them. And then the child will say, I want to, but I can't. Okay? Number 2 under D says, premature knowledge damages children. Do you see this? How premature knowledge can damage them? If you talk about the Lord shedding his blood for the forgiveness of our sins before they're convicted of their sins, it'll damage them. We need some brothers and sisters who understand this principle to prepare the lessons. Okay? Now, Romans 5. Now we're coming to the climax here. Gradually, we can help them to know who God is. Not in a religious way, but in a very practical way. We can lead them to the point that they realize there is an Almighty One who is God. Okay, elementary level. A, following this, we can help them to know God's creation and even the fall of man. For this purpose, we should not merely tell stories. Don't just tell Bible stories, story after story. Instead, we should present these matters in a very practical way using many illustrations. Okay, now what Brother Lee did in this point is he jumped from the elementary level all the way to the advanced level, because you don't talk about the fall of man until there's the conviction of sin. Do you follow me? Don't talk about Genesis 3, the fall of man, until you have a sinner in front of you. Okay, number 1, the best time to present the fall of man is after we have helped them to know what a proper humanity is. Okay, why is that? Because they will not know experientially the fall of man until they've tried to be a proper human being. Until they've tried to honor their parents, they will not know about the fall of man experientially in their experience. You see how talking about Genesis 3 could damage them? Point two, we can tell them that we are all fallen creatures and that there is sin within us that weakens us. To speak concerning the fall in this way is very realistic. Okay, now let's come back to Jimmy. All right, Jimmy puts his head down. Maybe he's crying. He's struggling. He's struggling. He can't do it. He can't be it. He can't obey his parents. He can't honor his parents. And you know it. And he knows it. And then you tell him, Jimmy, listen to me. And this might be a personal, private conversation after class. It might be a conversation between the parents and the child. But it goes something like this. Jimmy, listen. Do you know why you can't honor your parents? I have the same problem. It's because there's something in us that the Bible calls sin. When you don't honor your parents, the Bible has a word for that, and that word is sin. And sin is in all of us. We all grew up with this problem. We all have sin and a sinful nature. And this sinful nature weakens us to the point that we don't obey our parents. We disobey them. We don't honor them. We do everything we don't want to do. And the things we should do, we can't do it. It's because of sin. But I have something to tell you. I want to tell you that the Lord Jesus died on a cross 2,000 years ago. He shed his blood to pay the price for my sin and for your sin. And after he washed away your sin, he forgave you. You are completely forgiven, and your sins have been washed away. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful that we could be so weak, so fallen, and yet the Lord would come and die for us? Jimmy, he died for you. He died for you. He also died for me. And he shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Now, don't you want to know the Lord as your Savior? You see, now Jimmy is right at this point where he could just pray and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me that I don't honor my parents. Forgive me that I don't obey them. Forgive me for my sins. Wash away all my failures in your precious blood and come into me as life to strengthen and supply me that I could live for you. In your precious name, Lord. Amen. And so you lead them to pray. Now their experience of salvation is so personal, so precious, unforgettable, dynamic. If we just expect our children to grow up in children's meeting and kind of gradually fade into salvation, drift into a condition of salvation, we are robbing them of one of the most precious experiences of Christ that they could ever have. This is what equips them to be a seed of the gospel on the campuses. Their own repentance, their own salvation. This is how they know how to pray, how to repent, how to turn, how to be saved. This equips them for the preaching of the gospel in the future. Brothers and sisters, all second generation Christians need to have a dynamic experience of God's salvation. And I'd say this, especially second generation church kids need to know God's judicial redemption. Don't jump right away to organic salvation. Don't just say, oh, call on the Lord, call on the Lord, you'll be saved. No, they have to pass through this crisis of their sinful situation before God. Now the children's work has reached its goal. It has brought a sinner to become a son of God in a dynamic way. Many years ago, when my older girls were in children's meeting, we were in the church in Tulare in California. And one day, they were 10, maybe 8, 9, 10 years old. One day, the teacher of the children's meeting, we didn't have any kind of knowledge. We were like a Sunday school. We were really old school and old fashioned and beyond. We had no idea. And our teacher, the serving sister, came down and announced to the whole church, all of our children got saved this morning. And so what she did is she led them all to call on the Lord. They all got saved. None of them had any kind of consciousness of sin or forgiveness or... It was terrible. It was absolutely terrible. Don't do that. Don't do that. Help them. Especially the last year when they're between 11 and 12 years old. Oh, that's when we have to pray their names to the Lord all the time. They are our gospel candidates, and our lessons are leading them to be convicted of their sinful situation and to receive the Lord as their Savior. All right. Now you can tell them about the fall of man in Genesis 3, and it makes sense. Now it's practical. Now they understand it. Now they can receive that. Okay. Point 3, in the same principle, we can tell them how the Lord Jesus came to accomplish redemption, not as a mere story. Now you're telling them about the Lord's dying on the cross, and it's not just a story. He died for you. And if you were the only sinner in the whole world that ever lived, he still would have died for you. Okay? Now it's personal. Now he's my Savior. It's because of my sinful situation, my sinful condition. Point 4, listen to this. We can use the lessons concerning proper humanity and the proper way to behave. This is how we reach this point. We reach this point by using lessons on proper humanity, the law, and character to get to this point. Saints, to me, this is absolutely brilliant. This is just brilliant. This is God's economy. This is how it works. The law becomes a child conductor that leads us to Christ. Okay? Point B, then we can point out to them that the Son of God has died for us, and we can tell them about the cross, the death of Christ, and redemption without passing on mere religious knowledge. All right? Now we're not just telling them Bible stories about Jesus dying on the cross. It's very personal. Point C, after they reach a certain age, and I would say not too young, we can go on to tell them that Christ is life. This is after their salvation experience. Tell them that Christ is life, not as a mere story, but based upon their failures and desires. How do we get to know Christ is our life if we didn't have weaknesses, failures, and desires, improper desires? so that we could turn to the Lord. We can call on him. We can contact him. We have a desire to hurt someone, to yell at someone, to criticize someone. And we can turn to the Lord. He can be our life. He can be the strength within us. This is how they will come to know Christ as their life. It's through their weaknesses, their failures, and desires. Brothers and sisters, this is God's economy 101. All right? This is basic, God's economy. D, without giving them too much knowledge, we can help them in a practical way to what? Now listen, this is the whole children's meeting. We can help them in a practical way to realize what God, creation, humanity, the fall, redemption, and Christ are. That's the whole spectrum. God, humanity, the creation, the humanity, fall, the fall, redemption, Christ. And eventually we can help them to receive the Lord and be saved in a definite way. Brothers and sisters, it's not like the children of Israel where they all cross the Red Sea at the same time. They're going to be experiencing this crisis of salvation at different times in their life, starting maybe at 10 years old or 11 or 12. And it's going to be based upon their failures, their mistakes, their sin. Then we, in a very wise, gentle, loving, caring way, can lead them to know sin, to know the Lord's redemption, to know salvation, and eventually to know the Lord's life. Okay, then they can have a dynamic experience of God's salvation. Brothers and sisters, do you see how crucial to bring our children through all the processes from elementary level, intermediate level, to the advanced level, to salvation? This is so critical to our children coming to know the Lord in a personal, definite, and dynamic way. May the Lord be with us and perfect us so that we could have a children's work like this. Finally, perhaps there are brothers and sisters among us who are especially experienced, and burdened for the children, and who are preparing songs for the children. Here's another aspect of the children's work, children's meeting, is songs. Preparing songs, happy songs, joyful songs, songs that are easy to sing, little choruses. The poetry must be composed for the young ones in a very skillful way. It is better not to have songs if the songs that we have are of such a low standard. Don't make songs that are low standard. They have to be good, really good. You know, I still have songs in my mind that are there from when I was in Sunday school. These songs will stay with them forever. And at the lowest points in their life, these songs may come up in their being. He's bubbling, he's bubbling, he's bubbling in my soul. You know, you don't know. Jesus' love is sweet and wonderful. Something like that. You see, sometimes at the lowest point, these songs will come in later in life. Point B, the brothers and sisters should also prepare songs for the children's meetings. We should not treat the little ones like the older saints and have them sing the same songs that we do. Don't sing the hymns from the hymn book. Brother Lee went downstairs in China somewhere, Shanghai or Chifu, and they were singing Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me. You know, you don't sing that with the children. It's too deep. Sing a song that they can enjoy, they can understand, that they could sing again and again and again. And these songs will get into them, and they're sitting in the bathtub, and they'll be singing the songs. My daughter told me that her little girl, when she was little, one morning she heard her in her room, just singing her heart out, singing to the Lord, and songs she learned in children's meeting. It's wonderful. So Romans 7 says, parents like to hear their children sing. Oh, that's really true. The parents may be unhappy if you persuade them to believe in Jesus, but they will pay attention to their children singing. When they hear the songs, they will be touched. Okay, a neighborhood children's meeting. You teach them some songs about the Lord, about Jesus' love is sweet and wonderful. And then the children go home and they're in unbelieving families. And now they start to sing this. The parents are touched. The parents are moved by that. It ministers to them. B, even in the home meetings, we need to help even the children to call, speak, or sing a hymn and to quote or speak the word of the Bible. Even the children can recite verses in the small group meetings, in the home meetings. Everyone, both young and old, likes singing. This is true. Singing is very sweet. You must be like a nursing mother, making your little ones feel pleasant by giving them something sweet. And that is a sweet song to sing together with the children. See, all of these are elements that will contribute to building up our children to be proper human beings. You see, when they get into high school, junior high and high school, they're going to be sown as seeds of the gospel. And they're going to be encouraged to contact their friends and bring their friends to salvation. But if their humanity is low, and if they're ones cheating on a test, or cursing at their teachers, or talking back to their teachers, or mocking their parents, their message of the gospel will have no impact at all. But if they have been raised up to be proper human beings, they will have a testimony to those of their friends, their teachers. And this will be a silent, secret gospel message that is being preached by them through their conduct, through their attitude, and through their humanity. This is how to raise up our children to be proper human beings, because in the coming years, they will become very useful to the Lord, for his move on the earth. Now, let me encourage you. Let me give you some fellowship. I wish, I hope, I pray that in every local church there will be a group of four, five, or six saints who will come together to pray and study the situation. That you will dive into this book, chapters 10 through 16, and read it and read it again. And fellowship again and again and again. And then begin the process of compiling some materials or collecting them from people that have done it already. And then what you do is you say, okay, 6 months from now, we're going to have a new beginning in our children's work. We're going to carry it out in three levels. We're going to train our teachers and we're going to implement and practice what we've heard. I hope you would do this. I really seriously hope you would do this in all the churches all over Europe. Finally, and I'm not promoting, I'm just suggesting. this was passed by another church. It ended up in my WhatsApp. It's this website. I'm sorry I can't put it on the screen for you to write it down. You have to write it down yourself. Get ready. It's children.churchinirvine, all one word, dot org. Let me repeat. Children.churchinirvine.org. And it has an introduction there. And read the introduction, it will tell you the process that we went through in Irvine to compile the materials. And there are songs on there, there are lessons on there, there are other materials on there that are very useful. Lessons, songs, crafts, stories, general information. But I urge you to read first A Word of Fellowship. This will tell you the process that we went through to compile these materials. Okay? All right, that's it. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for this time, Lord. We give it back to you. I'll stop here.